The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The next article is titled, The Black Body Electric. This fall, Micheline Thomas's work spans the globe with an exhibit and a book. In December, Micheline Thomas's career will be celebrated in a glorious retrospective from Baydon Press. When Essence producers were in early stages of planning the 2017 Black Women in Hollywood Awards, its 10th anniversary, the team wanted to elevate the messaging of the event by highlighting how Black women were celebrated in germane, unapologetic narratives beyond entertainment. Enter visual artist Micheline Thomas. Micheline uses a multitude of mediums showcasing the strength and vulnerability of Black women through textiles, photo montages, and glitter, says Essence's senior executive director and creative director, Allie Brown, who selected works from Thomas's archives to be featured as majestic panels on the stage of the Black Tie Affair. Starting this fall, more of those archival pieces will be on display in Thomas's latest exhibition, Beyond the Pleasure Principle, which will be on view at the Levy Gorvy Galleries in New York, London, Paris, Hong Kong, and at Gallery Nathalia Obadiah, Paris. The global retrospective, the first of this size for the artist, coincides with another significant marker in Thomas's nearly 25-year career. Faidon Press is publishing the first comprehensive monograph of her paintings, portraitures, photography, and photographic collage. The 288-page retrospective includes essays by acclaimed author Roxane Gay, renowned German-American painter Hans Hoffman, and professor of modern art at Columbia University, Kelly Jones, who would deeply influence Thomas's artistic journey when Jones taught her in a performance art class. The New York-based artist has long centered Black women's bodies in vivid acrylic paintings embellished with rhinestones and Blaxploitation-inspired photography, a reverent nod to her 1970s childhood. Her art is an explicit commentary on race, gender, and sexuality, and her works adorn private and permanent collections, including Museum of Modern Art in New York City and the National Portrait Gallery in Washington, D.C., where Thomas's 2008 portrait of former First Lady Michelle Obama is housed. Of her creations, fellow contemporary artist Carrie James Marshall has said, "A room full of Thomas's paintings are viscerally exhilarating, high-impact color, clashing and overlapping patterns, rhinestones, and glitter produce an effect that is nothing short of sensational. We couldn't agree more." The next article is titled, Snow No Mercy. With millions of fans, 3 Grammys, and a new album in the works, Megan Thee Stallion has the support of the biggest names in music, and she's not slowing down anytime soon. What's cooler than being cool? Tina Snow. Megan Thee Stallion's first alter ego, Tina, is unflinching, provocative, and as southern as, quote-unquote, itis-inducing Sunday dinners, candy paint, and platinum-plated teeth. Tina is an ode to Pimp C, a Texas musical giant whose legacy Megan constantly honors. My mom would always be playing Pimp C, you UGK, all of the Houston legends. So that was my vibe, my flavor. Megan says of the music that shaped her from an early age. Megan's newest project, her highly anticipated album, is the follow-up to the 2018 EP that spawned Big Old Freak and put a feminist spin on Pimp C's Tony Snow persona. The blunt, bawdy rapper who died in 2007 still deeply inspires Megan today. It's refreshing to see Meg, says his widow, Shannara Butler. I just love her to death. Pimp C's Tony Snow alias was reference to the real Tony Snow, a political commentator and journalist. The idea of the rapper as a political voice is nearly as old as hip-hop itself. With Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Fives, The Message, Unpacking Inner City Poverty in 1982. Nearly 40 years later, Megan Thee Stallion is using music to offer governmental critiques of her own. Social media really gave a lot of people a voice that I don't feel like they need it. Megan says of the inspiration behind the music video for That SHIT, I see these Republicans worried about the wrong SHIT on a daily basis. Some of the wrong blank she's referring to is her feature on Cardi B's Vagina Praising Bop WAP, which was blasted online by U.S. Senate hopeful James P. Bradley, California. When I would see these men and these women talking crazy, I thought, let me put this in a video, because that is my response, she says. Days after the NSFW video was released to thunderous applause. In thought blank spelled T-H-O-T-S-H blank blank, a presumably Republican senator watches her quote-unquote body video and leaves a comment on it. Stupid regressive whores should have their mouths washed out with holy water. As an omnipresent force, Megan dials up the official's direct line, warning, the women who you try to step on are everybody who you depend on. They treat your diseases. They haul your trash. They guard you while you sleep. They control every part of your life. Do not F blank 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 with them. Like most of Megan's detractors, the fictional senator doesn't quite grasp the cognitive dissonance necessary to critique black women's expression of their sexuality while being obsessed with that same expression of freedom. Or maybe they do, since white men have policed black women's sexuality since the early 1600s and have had plenty of time to mull it over. There's also a connection between the labor of black women in Texas during slavery and the black women besieged to support Texas during the COVID-19 pandemic. The majority of enslaved people in Houston, Megan's hometown, were women, and until the first Juneteenth in 1865, these women were forced to cook, make clothing, keep everything clean, and undergird the city's white citizenry. According to the Center for Economic and Policy Research, in 2020, 62.8% of essential workers in Texas were women, and 61.2% of them were black, Asian, or Latina. Megan's not afraid to call out this reality or allude to the people who make it so. Black feminist professor and author Brittany Cooper, PhD, clearly sees the parallels. In an Instagram post under her moniker, Professor Crunk, Cooper underscores Megan's message. This is what black feminist critique plus hip-hop feminism looks like, she states. She gives the state plus white patriarchy her whole ass to kiss, calls them out for relying on black women while legislating against Black women, refuses Black women's respectability as the solution, represents for essential workers. I am going to paraphrase this next sentence for radio. Has sex with the penis in favor of vagina power. This is brilliant work, and it's still a bop, which means we can get our joy on our twerk on in the midst of the critique. Job very well done, sis. So who is this outspoken diva who has politicians seething and fans fawning over every line? We know you have seen her too. 5'10" tall, curvy and proud, acrylic nails clipped and filed into a would-be square shape, but slanted. Does her sexiness offend you? Her weaves are bone straight, waved, blunt cut, or curly, depending on her mood. She covers her fingers, wrist, and neck with VVS diamonds. Cause hell, she's earned them. Her outfits, the outfits, are luxe and form-fitting, often with cutoffs that show off her bronze legs and toned belly. Megan from Houston, I'm naturally sexy. She rapped in a 2019 freestyle. I'm talking top of the dome, no slip-ups. Every bar is a bar freestyles too. Being in Houston, in Texas in general, I feel like getting in a circle and freestyling is just what we do. Megan says of the art form, it doesn't matter where you at, who you with, somebody is going to do a rap battle. I would see boys together and they would be rapping. So in my head, this is what you do. I wanted to make sure I was always sharp and I could do it. What brought attention to Megan was the fact that she could do it and hold her own. In fact, when many first spotted her rapping alongside 10 other artists as part of a cipher, Megan's conviction and sex-positive lines stood out. People still routinely search the web for her first shining moments on the mic. I would be in my dorm room finding beats to rap over on YouTube. The now 26-year-old says of the days of her first mixtape, 2016's Rich Ratchet. She's come a mighty long way. Megan no longer scours the internet for instrumentals. Since the Neptunes, Pharrell Williams, and Chad Hugo, and music producer Tay Keith are among those presenting her with hot beats on bended knee. The now 3 Grammy winner even gets private pep talks from Beyonce. Long before the world knew Hot Girl Meg, Megan Peet was a full-time student at Texas Southern University, the HBCU she's scheduled to graduate from this fall. Balancing her books with her beats, I would go outside on my break to just get them out, she recalls. When I got to go into the studio, I'd lay down 8 songs at a time. She used to work a desk job alongside her mother, Holly Thomas, who was her manager until her death from a brain tumor in 2019. Megan's work ethic immediately impressed Oscar-winning rapper Juicy J, a frontman of the 3-6 Mafia. The two connected at the request of Megan's recording label at the time, 1501 Entertainment. She came in and I had some songs I wanted her to jump on, and she started knocking them songs out. Boom, 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 left and right, he says, snapping his fingers. I called her the verse killer. He immediately told her manager, T. Ferris, that she was a superstar. Megan rapped from her heart, processing the death of loved ones. Her grandmother passed away within a month of her mother, as she cranks out liberating Billboard charting anthems. Her most viral track thus far is Savage, a dance-ready hit that blew up on TikTok and got nods from Taraji P. Henson, Marsai Martin, and Janet Jackson. As the world embraced Hot Girl Meg, she herself became justifiably guarded, having rapped about people who want to get close to those with material goods. There are probably approximately 4 people around me on a daily basis, she says. I don't see a lot of people. I don't talk to a lot of people because I feel like it's not good for me. I figured out that my personal space is what keeps me balanced and it's what keeps me centered. Most magic is built out of isolation anyway, right? The Southern sound, and more specifically, the Texas sound, is one that Megan is in touch with. Think barking, speaker rattling bass, and rolling hi-hats. She's sure to enunciate, something she reveals she didn't do as much at the start of her career, but her pronunciation is still touched by her home state. Thing becomes thang. Never is never. Hungry becomes something like hungry. Her go-to producer, Little Jew, made the beat, balances Houston's heartfelt qualities with his readiness to turn up. I'm from Dallas, so the Dougie and just all the dancing songs from when I was a youth, that is all still embedded in me, he says. UGK's Bun B provides more context as to why the thumping rap music below the Mason-Dixon line sounds the way it does. I think it's heavily built around soul music and gospel music, right? Because that is pretty much the soundtrack to the South, he says in his crisp, deep baritone. A wealth of knowledge when it comes to Black music. In 2011, he was taped to be a guest lecturer at Rice University, teaching about the parallels between hip-hop and religion. This is the music that we grew up listening to, he continues. Whether it's blues, whether it's more than like the Isley Brothers or a Maze kind of thing, even doing deeper dives, you become more like Creole or Cajun, Zydeco, but also it's the way we receive music. He bridges the gap even more by explaining that New Yorkers have a different reliance on transportation, making the hip-hop based there perfect for noisier, more public transitory experiences. Meanwhile, Southern cuts are best for solo trips to the hood car wash or any other local errand. The music is indicative of identity. Megan's reluctance to share who will appear on her next album is understandable, given the frequency of leaked tracks, last-minute sample snags, and premature news stories. She can provide insight into the overall feel of the project, though. I feel like my new album will be aggressive, she says. I feel like this project is definitely something very well thought out. This project is me talking my SHIT, getting back comfortable with myself, getting back to the Megan that was on the come up. She speaks almost wistfully of that blonde-haired, pin-up style Meg, who made macking feel empowering with Instagram caption-ready lyrics. Her younger self must be grinning. The sub-genre of women in rap is infamous for petty beefs over clothes and competition. Progressively subverting that played-out trope, Megan focuses on the overall prize in rap and in life, self-improvement. Every time I make a move, I'm like, okay, how can we be better than Megan last month? She says, how can we be better than Megan last year? The strive never ends and the grind follows suit. And we watch every move as this Southern princess becomes the coldest to ever do it. The next article is titled, It's Not Ghetto. It just hasn't been appropriated yet. Essence spoke to journalists, designers, and culture curators about what it means to be ghetto and how cultural appropriation defines Black culture. Ghetto is defined as a part of a city, especially a slum area, occupied by a minority group or groups, at least by the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. While that may be the 16th century definition, the 21st century meaning has extended into the arenas of style, fashion, and beauty. What's wild is the word ghetto means something completely different depending on the context in which I say it and who I say it around. Beauty writer Darian Harvin says, a white person uttering ghetto is like the litmus test. If I'm sitting at dinner discussing an idea or dissecting a fashion trend, tell me what you think is ghetto. Tell me how you really feel. Far too often, we don't see the credit owed to us when non-Black people involuntarily pay homage to our culture. Door knocker earrings and cornrows are not only the Black girl staple, but are two of the main trends we wear that are deemed ghetto until another race wears it. DJ Olivia Dope says, and so Dope created a line of door knockers that read appropriated across the middle. This was for us and by us, she says. According to Harvin, a cultural appropriation has shifted what we consider stylish. It's given people more permission to carelessly experiment with global cultures under the guise of creativity without doing research, she insists. For Dope, appropriation is more than just something that started with fashion and beauty trends. Black music and hip-hop pretty much dictate what the most popular trends become, she says. Appropriation starts as a lack of appreciation that then turns into theft, Dope adds. Insults of being ghetto happen because of secret admiration. We've always been innovative without having to spend thousands to look rich. We are able to start trends that other races aren't able to capitalize off of until we touch it first. That's power. So it's downplayed as quote-unquote ghetto. Streetwear becomes couture. Luxe streetwear designer Narisha Willis is the leader of Nostro Get movement and founder of AVNU, the contemporary streetwear apparel brand. Cultural appropriation divides people and reinforces toxic stereotypes. The creator of the hashtag ghetto until proven fashionable clothing says it leads to misunderstanding and prejudice. Trayvon Martin was killed due to racism, as well as the stereotypes that come with the attire Black people may wear, such as a hoodie. It was imperative that the phrase was intentionally placed on a hoodie to bring awareness. According to Willis, AVNU is more than just a brand. It's a platform for Black folks defining what it is to be a modern-day fashion activist. When Black people create or even join a trend, it is instantly deemed ghetto, she says. Oftentimes, ghetto is associated with Black culture until it is syndicated as a trend in white society. Braids, sew-ins, and cornrows. Oh my. Braiding in the Black community was woven in the fabric of our culture before the technique was even documented. Celebrity braid stylist Kendra Garvey says, as the artisan responsible for Nicki Minaj's iconic floor-length pink braids, Garvey believes that braids represent not just hair, but the storytelling and memories of Black culture. I found that there are many cultures that use braiding and have for centuries, but the techniques and styles we invent are unmatched and unique, she continues. Society likes giving labels to things they do not comprehend. So the stigmatization of these braid styles is expected from people who are ignorant of their importance. Gautam Lasem, Chief Kix Officer Melissa Chanel, created Kix and Fro's as an online community for Black and brown women who love and appreciate sneakers. According to Chanel, sneakers became a form of expression for Black culture, especially following the peak era of Michael Jordan's career. Either way you spin it, it was us who got the trend started. Kix and Fro's was born out of both necessity and inspiration to celebrate other dope Black and brown female content creators in the sneaker community, including Vashti Kola, Takara Devon, Ashley Hall, and the ladies driving CNK Daily. Growing up, I heard that sneakers were for boys and girls needed to dress like girls, Chanel says. It was almost as if Black women needed to be hyper feminine in order to be seen and respected as women. The negative connotations are endless, but we know the truth. Black women are trendsetters, and we know that trends are only considered ghetto until our white counterparts rock them. Nails on fleek. Black women throughout history are known to have expressed ourselves through intricate nail designs, bold colors, embellished and airbrushed tips, and super ornate gold and silver charms, celebrity nail artist Aja Walton explains. Since the age of Egyptians, dark and bright colored nails signaled social status and even a level of seduction. While she loves to see Black women being innovators, Walton loathes the gut-wrenching feeling of cultural appropriation in the nail world. Having your art and ideas that you worked passionately on replicated all over the internet without something as small as a credit leaves you feeling vulnerable. The next article is titled 8 Ways to Better Sex. Now that you've returned to the office and the kids are back in school, it's time to return to good times between the sheets with a little help from the experts. Has your sex life seen steamier days? If so, you're in good company, sis. Even before the pandemic, studies showed that many Americans were having less sex. The COVID-19 fears put our lives on hold for a year, and sex became even less of a priority for some. But now that the world is reopening and the streets are buzzing once more, it is time to bring some new life and spice back into your bedroom as well. That's right, you have sex homework. Whether you are single and back on the dating scene, or trying to break out of that stale sex routine, there's always room to level up and increase the fun factor in bed. We ask a few of our favorite sexperts for their best tips on turning up the heat. Take notes. The next article is titled Notes on Passing. The upcoming drama, based on the 1929 novel, looks at the culture self-alienation a Black woman experiences when she attempts to gain the privileges that come with assuming a white identity. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.